WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. For the first time since 2018, drug overdose deaths overall have decreased, and deaths from opioids specifically declined by 9.7% in Illinois in 2023, which is better than the national average. To find out more about the work on the ground that led to fewer overdose deaths, we checked in with Fania Burford Berry, director of the Westside Heroin Opioid Task Force, and Araceli Gomez Aldana, WBEZ reporter and anchor. Araceli began by explaining how the percentages translate to the number of lives lost.
When looking at the data, so we're talking about numbers in 2023. Sometimes people ask me, why are you reporting on old data? That's actually the only full data that we have.
Right.
So if we're talking about a decrease in the state, in 2023, there was 3,502 people that died from overdose deaths, and that's all overdose deaths. Now, if you zoom into opioid-related overdose deaths, that's 2,855 fatalities attributed to opioid-related overdose deaths. So that is a significant dip when you are looking at how many people how many lives are being saved.
Right. Yeah. Fania, when you think of those numbers, I mean, what comes to mind, right? It's going down, right?
Yes.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts is that harm reduction and our strategies are working. Governor Pritzker, Juliana Stratton, our lieutenant governor, our Department of Human Services, as well as their Division of Substance Use and Prevention and Recovery, as well as our convener, Rep. LaShawn Ford, have invested in the West Side, have invested in the strategies of harm reduction on the West Side. And that's what's making this possible, this work possible, and there are more lives saving each other due to our efforts, right? People who use drugs are using Narcan. That's what we see from our data of all the doses that we've given out. We've given out about 60,000 doses of Narcan, and when people come back, we ask them, did you use the Narcan? Was the Narcan used on you? And we're finding out from our data, about 20% of people have used Narcan to save each other. And where they didn't have to go to an emergency room, they just learned, they just understood from being on the corners, we're teaching harm reduction,
right,
how to save each other's lives.
Yeah, and to your point, I mean, all these agencies are working together. There's preliminary data from the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office as well for 2024, which is also showing a decline in opioid overdoses for that year. And it sounds like it mirrors what you folks are seeing on the ground.
Exactly,
Fania.
Exactly. One thing about our work, we go to the corners where people use drugs and deal drugs. And we have other agencies such as Family Guidance, Thresholds, Greenbacks, Haas, the healthcare alternative systems. They're coming out to the corners with us, getting people into medicated assistant recovery. And so with that, like, we do warm handoffs to them. When people say, we want to go into treatment and recovery, for whatever drug they're using, we get them connected to those resources. And that's the reason why we're seeing the overall decline in all substance use.
It's also good to hear folks saying, I want the help.
Oh, yes.
I think that's the part that's just eye-opening here.
Yes.
What does the state say, Araceli, is contributing to the decline? I know Fania just talked about Narcan.
Yeah,
it's a big deal.
I spoke to Grace Ho, and she's a state deputy governor for health and human services. She says it's really just the holistic view that the state is kind of using, looking at all aspects. Of course, we've mentioned Narcan distribution. They say they've distributed 1 million doses of Narcan boxes, and those are like two use boxes. So that's a lot of Narcan. And then also just they launched an Illinois helpline so people can call if they're needing help or if they need some type of assistance. And they're looking at areas like the west and south sides of Chicago, which see more opioid deaths. And like we've talked about, if you have, the state has this overdose database where it's an interactive database, you can see where deaths are happening. And so a lot of people that are trying to approach harm reduction, instead of saying, hey, let's just talk about information and education statewide, well, actually look at the numbers, look at where people are being most affected and go there and specifically target that population. And I think they're seeing some results there.
You talked about the approach that your task force is taking here to harm reduction. The task force has also been giving out fentanyl test strips.
Yes.
Tell us more.
Yes, we give out fentanyl test strips because people are curious. People who use drugs are curious about what's in their drugs, right? People, like, we sort of have a joke, like, it's not your grandfather's heroin. Like, it is mixed with so much stuff, such as xylazine and metomidine. We saw last Mother's Day that metomidine had created a spike in overdoses. And so our people who use drugs are curious about what is in their drugs. So we're giving out benzo test strips and fentanyl test strips as well as xylazine so that people know what is in their drugs before they use so that they can use slowly, so they can not use alone, so that they can call the hotline, the Never Use Alone hotline, so that maybe they decide, you know what, this is not what I wanted. And I'm not going to take it today. And I might need to go into treatment and recovery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also good to hear the just the on the ground examples. You talked to Araceli. I remember you did some reporting way back on barbers who were getting trained to also administer Narcan. Yeah. What stuck out to you from that reporting?
So I think that one of the things that public health officials and experts are kind of leaning in is you need to find where people feel they can trust someone.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the times you can go to your doctor, but it's such a different relationship. And so I went and I followed students at Larry's Barber College on Chicago's South Side, and them with Rush Medical Center, Substance Use Disorder Center of Excellence, they're teaming up and they're doing trainings of Narcan use at barbershops, at laundromats, at places where people are at. And once these barbers get—
So not just the corners, but also
just,
like
different
the establishments
places.
That—
A lot of churches, religion.
Users frequent.
Yeah. And once they get trained, the barbers get trained on how to administer, how to identify a potential overdose, but also how to talk about substance use disorder. So a lot of the times they're teaching it's not a moral failing. Yes. It is a disease. It is something that is happening. And when people die, they're also trying to change the language of it wasn't an overdose, you know, fentanyl-linked overdose. Maybe it was a poisoning.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some conversations like that so people can actually look for fentanyl strips, look for help, look for Narcan, and then administer the Narcan. I think people are kind of scared to administer Narcan.
Oh, yeah. If you don't know what you're doing, I think there's maybe an intimidation there. Do you come across that in your trainings, Fania?
Well, it used to be we had naloxone, which was in the needle. It was really, like, intimidating to distribute or to use
sure.
it.
Yeah.
But, like, with the nasal spray, people are more comfortable using nasal spray. So I think that's the reason why we're seeing this decrease, because it is so easy to use a nasal spray.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And to go to your point about barbershops and beauty shops, we do that too. We go to barbershops, beauty shops, churches to teach this and to say it is not a moral failing.
Mm-hmm.
It is just a disease, and we need to look at it as it's a disease, and it needs treatment and care for that.
The Trump administration, we know, you've got to have all eyes on what's happening. There are lots of changes, lots of things coming down the pike since January, since they took office. They're now threatening to make huge cuts to the Medicaid program, Fania, which we know provides healthcare coverage for low-income folks. How would that affect your work? Have you been talking about that with your team?
Yes, we have as a team. Our organizations that belong to the task force, such as Thresholds, Family Guidance, Aetna Circle, all those organizations have Medicaid patients, and there will be a 40% decrease, right? If these cuts are real, come to fruition, we will see less people connected to treatment and care to opioid use disorder treatment, less recovery coaching, less preventative measures that we can come up with these cuts. And it is just frightening. Mm. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news or predict it, but there could be an increase in overdose deaths after we've done such hard work on this decline.
So you think we can go back to seeing another spike?
Yeah, because listening to your earlier presentations, loneliness, right? Mm-hmm. The idea of isolation when you don't have people reaching out to you to draw you in, when you have, when you are misusing drugs, that could lead to spikes in overdoses.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Grace Hogan, and she mentioned they are concerned just thinking about Medicaid services and funding, mm-hmm. federal funding. She talked about if we're making progress, and numbers are showing that there is progress in the healthcare system, in the available treatment centers and things that they can provide, all of a sudden, if that goes away, it's going to make people more vulnerable, and it's going to potentially reverse some of the progress that has been made.
And Araceli, Fania mentioned this earlier, xylazine. Oh. Deaths from xylazine overdoses were up in 2023. Yeah. So we're all clear. What is xylazine?
So that was one of the data points that was going, I would say, in the wrong direction, right? Mm-hmm. Everything else going down, this is going up. So xylazine is, it's very interesting. It's a tranquilizer. The thing about it is it's a non-opioid sedative. It's not supposed to be used on humans. I think most people use it for veterinary purposes. And so when we look at the data, it's a little bit difficult because this is not an opioid, but it is being mixed in with cocaine, heroin, fentanyl, and it's very difficult to treat because it is a tranquilizer. It kind of slows everything down. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes you're supposed to still use Narcan if you are encountering an overdose, but sometimes Narcan doesn't work for them. So that's why we're seeing
hence
some
we're
deaths.
Seeing it go up. Yeah. Is a different approach needed? Fania, what do you think?
Yes, actually, our team has been working with Van Asher, who was out in New York at the overdose prevention site there, and what he revealed to us is that it is oxygen. It is giving breath. So we are purchasing oxygen bags, and to help people come back to the restoration of breathing is so important. So xylazine, that's what we are the trend down. So we are now trying to invest in oxygen cans where, people get oxygen so that people's breath is restored.
What I'm hoping, too, is that we see some change in the racial disparities here, because across the board, that's still consistent, right? We're seeing the same people die the most here from overdose. Cook County Medical Examiner's Office estimates that in 2024, 76% of folks who died were male, 53% were Black. You're creating a focus group of Black men between 45 and 70 years old. What are you trying to learn from this group?
Yes. Cook County has funded us for 2 years to work with Black men above the age of 45 who use drugs, to talk to them about why they're not staying in treatment and recovery programs, what could help retain them into these programs, mm-hmm. what could the service providers do differently. So it's a community-based participatory research project, and we hope out of the conversation we're going to be doing focus groups and surveys with about 400 Black men who use drugs to come up with an intervention to help Black men who use drugs to either manage their drug use, mm-hmm. or if they decide to go into abstinence, then we can help them with abstinence, but it is asking them, and they are in on the ground of this.
The power is in their hands, it sounds like.
Exactly. They're going to come up with the questions, right, to ask each other. They're going to say, this is what I need. So it is for them, by them, and that's what harm reduction is all about. It is not us or organizations coming out top down, but rather it is in the street, it is on community level.
Right.
That is what's going to make a difference in this project.
Be interesting to see what you learn from
exactly.
that. Fania Burford Berry is director of the West Side Heroin Opioid Task Force, and Araceli Gomez Aldana is a WBEZ anchor. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and edited by Meha Ahmed. It was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset's conversations bring you the breaking news with nuance and insight. Hit subscribe wherever you listen to never miss an episode, or you can catch us at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again soon.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely